From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
To unleash the full power of the federal government in this effort today, I am officially declaring a national emergency.
That was President Donald Trump Friday as he declared the coronavirus pandemic a national emergency. RT's Caleb Maupin has more.
We heard from Trump. He's speaking in the White House Rose Garden, surrounded by Mike Pence and other officials, explaining the dramatic measures now being taken in the United States in response to the coronavirus outbreak. Now, when Trump declared a national emergency, that freed up roughly $50 billion worth of funds that he can then use to take action and set things up. Now, Trump described how they are setting up these drive-through testing centers that are being set up around the country, in which people are able to be tested. They don't get out of their car. They just drive up. They'll be tested and then drive away. And that way, they're not getting out of their car. There's no danger of them spreading it in the area in which the test is taking place. Trump also took the opportunity to tout his travel ban to the European Union, a ban that has been criticized. Many have pointed out it doesn't apply to certain countries. But regardless, Trump touted it and said it was an absolutely necessary measure and talked about the need for closing the borders and why closing the borders is very, very important in a situation like this. Now, Trump wasn't the only one who spoke. We also heard from different officials. Quite interesting remarks, but it appears that in addition to measures that are being taken on a local level here in New York City, in different parts of the country, we see local states of emergency being declared, local dramatic measures being taken, states have closed their schools. Public events are being canceled all throughout the United States. New York City at this point has outlawed any gathering of more than 500 people. Broadway has been closed down. In addition to these local measures, we now have the federal government of the United States under the leadership of President Donald Trump declaring a national emergency on a federal level. An action is being taken. A number of U.S. corporations, such as Walmart and others, were listed by the president as being involved in the efforts to fight against coronavirus and get us through this crisis here in the United States.
The president also announced a range of executive actions, including a new public-private partnership to expand coronavirus testing capabilities with drive-through locations, as you just heard. As the markets continued to drop Monday, the president brought his team out before the press to further detail government efforts to fight the virus.
So I'm glad to see that you're practicing social distancing. That looks very nice. That's very good. I want to thank everybody for being here today. This morning I spoke with the leaders of the G7 nations, and they really had a good meeting. I think it was a very, very productive meeting. I also spoke with our nation's governors. And this afternoon, we're announcing new guidelines for every American to follow over the next 15 days. As we combat the virus, each and every one of us has a critical role to play in stopping the spread and transmission of the virus. We did this today. This was done by a lot of very talented people, some of whom are standing with me. And that's available. And Dr. Birx will be speaking about that in just a few minutes. It's important for the young and healthy people to understand that while they may experience milder symptoms, they can easily spread this virus, and they will spread it indeed, putting countless others in harm's way. We especially worry about our senior citizens. The White House Task Force meets every day and continually updates guidelines based on the fast evolving situation that this has become all over the world. It's all over the world. It's incredible what's happened in such a short period of time. On the guidelines of the task force, the new modeling conducted by Dr. Birx and our consultation with governors, we've made the decision to further toughen the guidelines and blunt the infection now. We'd much rather be ahead of the curve than behind it, and that's what we are. Therefore, my administration is recommending that all Americans, including the young and healthy, work to engage in schooling from home when possible, avoid gathering in groups of more than 10 people, avoid discretionary travel, and avoid eating and drinking at bars, restaurants, and public food courts. If everyone makes this change or these critical changes and sacrifices now, we will rally together as one nation and we will defeat the virus, and we're going to have a big celebration all together. With several weeks of focused action, we can turn the corner and turn it quickly. A lot of progress has been made. I'm also pleased to report today that a vaccine candidate has begun the phase one clinical trial. This is one of the fastest vaccine development launches in history, not even close. We're also racing to develop antiviral therapies and other treatments, and we've had some promising results, early results, but promising, to reduce the severity and the duration of the symptoms. And I have to say that our government is prepared to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, we're doing. We're doing it in every way. And with that, I'd like to just introduce Dr. Birx, who's going to discuss some of the things that we strongly recommend. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think you know over the last months, we've taken very bold action to stop the virus from coming to our shores. And because of that, we gained time to really get together and understand the progress across the globe of what has worked and what hasn't worked. We now need to appeal to every single American so that they can have their role in stopping the spread of this virus. We've talked about things before about washing your hands, but we really want to focus on if you are sick, no matter who you are, please stay home. If someone in your household is diagnosed with this virus, the entire household should quarantine in the house to prevent spread of the virus to others. The reason we're taking these strong and bold steps is because we know there is virus spread before you develop symptoms. And then we know that there's a large group, we don't know the precise percent yet, that actually is asymptomatic or has such mild cases that they continue to spread the virus. If your children are sick, please keep them home. Now to our older population or those with pre-existing medical conditions, everyone in the household needs to focus on protecting them. Everyone in the household. I want to speak particularly to our largest generation now, our millennials. I have the mom of two wonderful millennial young women who are bright and hardworking, and I will tell you what I told to them. They are the core group that will stop this virus. They are the group that communicates successfully, independent of picking up a phone. They intuitively know how to contact each other without being in large social gatherings. We're asking all of them to hold their gatherings to under 10 people, not just in bars and restaurants, but in homes. We really want people to be separated at this time. To be able to address this virus comprehensively that we cannot see, for which we don't have a vaccine or a therapeutic. The only thing we have right now is the amazing ingenuity and compassion of the American people. We're appealing to all Americans to take these steps, to protect each other, and to ensure that the virus doesn't spread. These guidelines are very specific, they're very detailed. They will only work if every American takes this together to heart and responds as one nation and one people to stop the spread of this virus. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Birx. So just to connect with what I mentioned to you in previous discussions in this room, and Dr. Birx said it very well, that in order to be able to contain and curtail this epidemic to not reach its maximum capability, we have a two-pillar approach, one of which I believe has been very effective in preventing the substantial seeding, and namely the travel restrictions that we've discussed many times in this room. The other, equally, if not more important, is when you have infection in your own country, which we do, and you know, I could read the numbers, but they're really essentially what we've seen yesterday, incremental increases, both globally as well as in the United States, with the curve doing that. So therefore, the kinds of things that we do are containment and mitigation. What we're mentioning now, the guidelines, when you look at them carefully, I believe if the people in the United States
take them seriously because they were based on some rather serious consideration back and forth. Some may look at them and say they're going to be really inconvenient for people. Some will look and say, well, maybe we've gone a little bit too far. They were well thought out. And the thing that I want to reemphasize, and I'll say it over and over again, when you're dealing with an emerging infectious diseases outbreak, you are always behind where you think you are if you think that today reflects where you really are. That's not word speak. It means if you think you're here, you're really here because you're only getting the results. Therefore, it will always seem that the best way to address it would to be doing something that looks like it might be an overreaction. It isn't an overreaction. It's a reaction that we feel is commensurate, which is actually going on in reality. So take a look at the guidelines, read them carefully, and we hope that the people of the United States will take them very seriously because they will fail if people don't adhere to them. We have to have, as a whole country, cooperate and collaborate to make sure these get done. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. President, a lot of people are concerned about how long all of this might last. Do you have any kind of estimate that if Americans really were to band together and do what the White House is suggesting, how quickly you could turn this corner?
My favorite question, I ask it all the time. How many times, Anthony? I think I ask him that question every day, and I speak to Deborah, I speak to a lot of them, I get the opinion. So it seems to me that if we do a really good job, we'll not only hold the death down to a level that is much lower than the other way, had we not done a good job. But people are talking about July, August, something like that. So it could be right in that period of time where it washes through. Other people don't like that term, but where it washes through.
So is this the new normal until the height of the summer?
We'll see what happens, but they think August, could be July, could be longer than that. But I've asked that question many, many times. Yes.
That being said, Mr. President, Americans today and looking forward are living with so much anxiety and so much fear facing uncertainty right now. I'm curious, how are you talking to your own family about this? How are you talking to your youngest son? Do you empathize with this sense of anxiety? People are really scared.
Yeah. No, I think they are very scared. I think they see that we're doing a very professional job. We've been working with the governors and the mayor's local government at every level. We have FEMA totally involved. FEMA has been, usually we see FEMA for the hurricanes and the tornadoes. Now we have FEMA involved in this. They've been doing a fantastic job locally, working with people that they know because they work, like as an example, in California, in the state of Washington. They work with them a lot on other things, and they're very familiar, so they're working on it. What you can do and all you can do is professional, totally competent. We have the best people in the world. We have really the greatest experts in the world. And someday soon, hopefully it'll end and we'll be back to where it was. But this came up, it came up so suddenly. Look, you were surprised. We were all surprised. We heard about it. We heard about reports from China that something was happening. And all of a sudden, we did make a good decision. We closed our borders to China very quickly, very rapidly. Otherwise, we'd be in a very, as Tony has said numerous times, we'd be in a very bad position, much worse than we would be right now. You look at what's happening in other countries. Italy's having a very hard time. But I think that what we do, and I've spoken actually with my son, he says, how bad is this? It's bad. It's bad. But we're going to be hopefully a best case, not a worst case. And that's what we're working for. Yes.
You can clear up some confusion on two key fronts. One is about your own test. The other is about containment efforts. Is the administration considering more aggressive containment options like a quarantine, a national curfew?
Well, we have that very much. Yeah, we have that very much. And we've been pretty aggressive. We were early with Europe, but we were very, very early with China and other places. And fortunately, we were. And as far as containment here, we're coming out with strong suggestions. And, it's becoming a little bit automatic. You look at people, they're not doing certain things. For instance, they're obviously not, I wouldn't say the restaurant business is booming and bars and grills and all. People are self-containing for to a large extent. We look forward to the day when we can get back to normal.
To be specific, what's your second question? Are you considering instituting a nationwide lockdown, a nationwide quarantine? The NSC knocked that down, but there's still some questions about how it all came
at this point, not nationwide, but well, there are some some places in our nation that are not very affected at all. But we may look at certain areas, certain hot spots, as they call them. We'll be looking at that. But at this moment, no, we're not.
The second question is, you said you had your coronavirus test Friday night. The White House doctor's office put out a statement around midnight Friday saying that no test was indicated. So when exactly was your test administered?
Well, I had my test. It was late Friday night. And the reason I did it was because I had no symptoms whatsoever. So the doctor said, you have no symptoms, so we don't see any reason. But when I did the press conference on Friday, everybody was going crazy. Did you do the test? Did you do the test? So very late on Friday night, I did the test. And he may have put out, or the doctor may have put out something at I don't know what time the letter went out. Maybe it was put out by somebody else. But the results came back, I believe, the following day. And we tested negative.
But the question is, how could the White House doctor's office say a test wasn't indicated, implying that you hadn't had one when, in fact, you had?
Well, I told them that, and I went totally by what they said, the doctors, more than one. They said you don't have any of the symptoms. They checked what you're supposed to check, and that I didn't have symptoms. But I did it. I did a test late on Friday night, and it came back probably 24 hours later or something. They sent it to the labs, came back later. Yeah, please.
Mr. President, you had a teleconference with the nation's governors today. Yeah. And in that teleconference, you told them if they need things like respirators or masks to try to get it on their own. What did you mean by that, and what will the federal
government
do
to help? If they can get them faster by getting them on their own, in other words, go through a supply chain that they may have, because the governors, during normal times, the governors buy a lot of things, not necessarily through federal government. If they're able to get ventilators, respirators, if they're able to get certain things without having to go through the longer process of federal government, we have stockpiles now, and we're ordering tremendous numbers of ventilators, respirators, masks. And they're ordered, and they're coming, and we have quite a few at this point. I think, Mike, we have a lot. But if they can get them directly, it's always going to be faster if they can get them directly if they need them. And I've given them authorization to order directly.
Go ahead, please. Mr. President, one of the big weaknesses in our healthcare system is surge capacity for medical facilities, and I wanted to ask what precautions, what planning is being done to get China was able to build hospitals in a matter of days. Are you prepared to use the Corps of Engineers or FEMA to start building surge capacity that we may need in a couple of weeks?
Well, first of all, we hope we don't get there, and that's what we're doing, and that's why we're taking a very strict look at this. But we also are looking at areas, and not only looking, we're expanding certain areas. We're taking over buildings that aren't used. We're doing a lot in that regard. We hope we don't have to get there. But we are doing a lot in that regard.
Mr. President, could you clarify something? These guidelines say stay home if you're sick. Yesterday, the Vice President said no one should worry about losing a paycheck if they stay home when they're sick. But the House bill exempts companies of 500 employees or more from the paid sick leave requirement, and that's 54% of the American workplace. Why is it a good idea to only require small businesses to provide paid
sick? We're looking at that, and we may be expanding that. We are looking at that. We want fairness. We want it for everybody. No, we're looking at that through the Senate, because as you know, the Senate is now digesting that bill. So we may very well be adding something on that. Okay? Good question.
One, going off of what he was asking, how many ventilators and how many ICU beds do we have right now, and will it be enough?
I could get back to you with that number. We've ordered a lot. We have quite a few, but it may not be enough. And if it's not enough, we will have it by the time we need it. Hopefully, we won't need them.
And you'll give us the exact number?
Yeah, we'll be able to give you.
So far, they have not given us an exact
number. We'll give you. We can give you a number. If it's important, we'll give you a number. Go ahead.
Okay. And yesterday, you said that this was under tremendous control. Do you want to revisit that statement if we are going to be experiencing this until July or August, 5 more months?
When I'm talking about control, I'm saying we are doing a very good job within the confines of what we're dealing with. We're doing a very good job. There's been a tremendous amount of the way they're working together. They're working hand in hand. I think they're doing really a great job. And from that standpoint, that's what I was referring to. Yes,
not, okay, you're not saying it's under control, right?
I'm not referring to it, meaning the Yeah, if you're talking about the virus, no, that's not under control for any place in the world. I think
yes,
I read,
you said it was,
I think I read, no, I didn't. I was talking about what we're doing is under control, but I'm not talking about the virus. Yes, please.
The stock market took another hit today. Is the U.S. economy heading into a recession?
Well, it may be. We're not thinking in terms of the virus. Once we stop, I think there's a tremendous pent-up demand, both in terms of the stock market and in terms of the economy. And once this goes away, once it goes through and we're done with it, I think you're going to see a tremendous surge.
Are you looking at any domestic travel restrictions? I know that's been on the table before, but is that firming up at all?
We're not really. We hope we don't have to, Steve. We think that hopefully we won't have to do that, but it's certainly something that we talk about every day. We haven't made that decision.
Mr. President, can I ask you, doctors and nurses in this country are telling us across the board that they're terrified of this virus, of the fact that they might get it, of the fact that they might take it home to their families. What can you say to assure healthcare providers in this country that the federal government is doing something today to ensure that they get personal protective equipment to protect themselves and their families?
Well, I think the federal government is doing everything that we can possibly do. We made some very good early decisions by keeping people out, by keeping countries out, certain countries where the infection was very immense. I noticed a lot of people are talking about South Korea because they've done a good job on one side, but on the other side, tremendous problems at the beginning. They had tremendous problems and great numbers of death. I think that we've done a fantastic job from just about every standpoint. With that being said, you look, no matter where you look, this is something, it's an invisible enemy. But we are speaking all the time, not only with the people, but also the professional people, the nurses, the doctors. They have been doing a fantastic job. We are also working very much on getting them the kind of equipment that they need. And for the most part, they either have it or they will be getting it. But remember this, we want the governors, we want the mayors, we want them locally from a local standpoint, because it can go quicker. We want them to work. And we had a great talk with the governors today. I think it was a really great talk. There's a tremendous coordination. There's a tremendous spirit that we have together with the governors. And that's pretty much, for the most part, bipartisan. Yeah.
Mr. President, you told John that you think this could wash through, as you said, July, August. You just told Steve when he asked you about a possibility of recession, you said it may be. I'm curious, if there is a recession, when do you think that might hit?
Well, I don't, number one, determine recession. I just say this, we have an invisible enemy. We have a problem that a month ago nobody ever thought about. Nobody in I've read about it. I read about many years ago, 1917, 1918. I've seen all of the different problems similar to this that we've had. This is a bad one. This is a very bad one. This is bad in the sense that it's so contagious. It's just so contagious. Sort of record-setting type contagion. The good part is the young people they do very well, and healthy people do very well. Very, very bad for older people, especially older people with problems. My focus is really on getting rid of this problem, this virus problem. Once we do that, everything else is going to fall into place. Yes, please.
A lot of rumors last night that you were going to put in a national curfew,
yeah,
or some kind of, you know, texting.
I've been reading. I've been watching.
Right. Exactly. Me too. Your people were saying this is a foreign disinformation campaign. Is that what's going on? Are people messing with us on the internet?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that I can't tell you if they are or not. I think a lot of the media actually has been very fair. I think people are pulling together on this. I really think the media has been very fair. I think it could be that you have some foreign groups that are playing games, but it doesn't matter. We haven't really determined to do that at all, and hopefully we won't have to. That's a very big step. It's a step we can take, but we have not decided to do it. Jennifer, go.
Mr. President, two things, one on airlines and one
yes.
on Jeff Bezos. Can you talk a little bit specifically about what you'd like to do to help the airlines, first of all? And then second of all, we heard that Jeff Bezos has been in contact with the White House daily. Can you say what he's been asking for or proposing?
Well, I've heard that's true. I don't know that for a fact, but I know that some of my people have, as I understand it, been dealing with them or with him. And that's nice. We've had tremendous support from a lot of people that can help. And I believe he was one of them. As far as the airlines are concerned, the airlines, we're going to back the airlines 100%. It's not their fault. It's nobody's fault, unless you go to the original source, but it's nobody's fault. And we're going to be in a position to help the airlines very much. We've told the airlines we're going to help them.
They want $25 billion.
Well, we're going to be helping. We're going to be backstopping the airlines. We're going to be helping them very much, John. It's very important.
What do you do about the stock market, sir?
$25 billion for the passenger carriers and $4 billion for cargo?
We're going to be looking at it very strongly. We have to back the airlines. It's not their fault. In fact, they were having a record season. Everybody was. They were having record seasons, and then this came out. And it came out from nowhere. So not their fault, but we're going to be backing the airline. Yeah.
Stocks continue to fall today. Would the White House support negative rates?
Best thing I can do for the stock market is we have to get through this crisis. That's what I can do. That's the best thing we can do. That's what I think about. Once this virus is gone, I think you're going to have a stock market like nobody's ever seen before.
Mr. President, the other day you said he'll be back in a second.
I think the question that I think maybe John asked about until July, the guidelines are a 15-day trial guideline to be reconsidering. It isn't that these guidelines are now going to be in effect until July. What the president was saying is that the trajectory of the outbreak may go till then. Make sure we don't think that these are is solid in stone till July.
Yeah. But that would be the outside number. Yeah.
Mr. President, you've been criticized.
Hold on 1 second, please go ahead.
To follow up, Senate Republicans, do you want Senate Republicans to change the package that passed the House last week, even though you
I think that may make it even better. Look, they're working together very well with the House. They're working very much in unison, like the question before. They're working to only enhance it. And make it better and make it fair for everybody. And that's what we're looking to do. So we may go back and forth with the House a little bit, but both will be in a very positive fashion. Please.
Yeah, thank you. Mr. President, these new guidelines say avoid social gatherings in groups of more than 10 people. The CDC's recommendations yesterday were for people to avoid gatherings of more than 50 people. What's evolved in you and your team's thinking in just the past 24 hours? And also, what exactly do you need to see in a stimulus
bill? Well, let me just have the professionals answer that. Would you like to do that?
Great. Thank you, and thank you for that question. So we have been working on models day and night around the globe to really predict, because some countries in our very early stage, like the United States, we've been working with groups in the United Kingdom. So we had new information coming out from a model, and what had the biggest impact in the model is social distancing, small groups, not going in public in large groups. But the most important thing was if one person in the household became infected, the whole household self-quarantined for 14 days, because that stops 100% of the transmission outside of the household. And as we talked about early on, it's silent. We had another silent epidemic, HIV. And I just want to recognize the HIV epidemic was solved by the community, the HIV advocates and activists who stood up when no one was listening and got everyone's attention. We're asking that same sense of community to come together and stand up against this virus. And if everybody in America does what we ask for over the next 15 days, we will see a dramatic difference, and we won't have to worry about the ventilators, and we won't have to worry about the ICU beds, because we won't have our elderly and our people at the greatest risk having to be hospitalized.
Go ahead. Yes, Mike, please.
Very productive call today with governors. We talked about the new rollout of testing that we described yesterday, and drive-through and community-based testing. And I know how grateful the president is for the efforts that governors are making. And now with the Admiral and the United States Public Health Service, as well as FEMA, we made great progress today in coordinating those efforts. But the other issue that was raised with the president today was personal protective equipment. And the reason I mentioned testing is because one of the recommendations that we have for states is that these remote testing sites make a priority of two groups. One would be people over the age of 65 that have symptoms. We don't want them to go to hospitals or emergency rooms. We want them to go to a remote site in a parking lot or at a isolated community location. But the other category is our healthcare workers.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.